Well, everybody, I'm David. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am finding victory over fear, worry, and codependent behaviors. So just a couple of disclosures kind of to begin with, okay? One, I didn't come here willingly, okay? I did not come to CR willingly. And in fact, I am the poster child of denial. If you want to know what denial looks like, roll the clock back a few years, and I'm the guy, okay? And number two, laugh only in the appropriate places or I will feel rejected, okay? And, yeah? Well, you know, I'm a lighthearted guy, and sometimes my heavy moments will come across as funny, so just be careful, be careful for me. And also, let me just say this. This is really important. The only reason that I'm in Celebrate Recovery And the only reason that I'm a Christian is because Jesus rose from the dead. That's the reason. There is no other reason for me. I would not serve a God who wasn't miraculous and who didn't care. And so I have to bow my knee to that. Jesus is my Lord and He is my higher power. So here's my story. I was 1952. I was born in Hollywood, California. My parents had left their previous marriages to be together, and they were broken people masquerading as normal. Sound familiar? Yeah. And they had a boatload of baggage. My dad was a Jewish lawyer from the East Coast, and my mom was a Gentile from Texas. And just a little definition here, Gentile does not mean soft and sweet. It means not a Jew. So in a Jewish family, that is shame when a Jew marries a Gentile. So that was, here's the context of the Brent family. My parents were party people. My dad loved to be the big shot. Big cars, big cigars, expensive suits, loud and showy. They both dressed well and they drank heavily. Clearly, they had all the prerequisites for raising a family. So at Hollywood in the 50s was a glamorous place, and it suited my mom and dad. My dad left his law practice to go into business. He worshipped money and prestige. However, when alcohol is mixed with business, money and prestige are fleeting. And this is the story of my parents. The business deals in California failed, so we left and we moved to the next big deal, which was in Tennessee. We lived both in Memphis and in Nashville. Well, the business deals failed in Tennessee, too. And about that time, there was also a sense that my mom was sick, but we kids were a little too young to understand what the patterns of our family were, but this was what was developing. We left Tennessee for Colorado. I was just getting old enough to notice that I was the new kid in school every year. It was much harder to fit in than it was before. As I was getting a little older, I was becoming aware of my mother's drinking. I was becoming aware of my dad's anger. And the home that we thought was such a happy place was beginning to become a miserable place to live. In 61, we moved to Salem, Oregon. This was difficult because I had to leave my first real friends, first little buddies that I knew, first bonding that I had ever made as kids. And also that I had played on my first real baseball team, which was kind of a magical moment for me. But Oregon was a clean start. My dad was becoming successful. He was making money and our lifestyle changed. We had the big house. We had the nice cars. We had lots of stuff. Mom cheered up, which brought a sense of peace to the house. She was buying furniture, clothes, jewelry. Even though Dad was a Jew, I remember at that time we celebrated Christmas and we had a Christmas tree, kind of unusual in a Jewish house. And it was kind of a magical time for us. It was also at a time when at school we would gather in the hall in the mornings and sing Christmas carols and we would talk about God and we would talk about baby Jesus. But Dad said Jesus wasn't real. We were a religiously confused family. Dad was a nominal Jew, and if Mom believed anything, you would never know it. But outside the house, I was noticing that other people did. Some families really believed the Christmas story, and it planted some seeds in me that would germinate later. Ultimately, though, alcohol returned to our house, and this time it was worse than before. My mom wasn't just having problems, she was a drunk. This was the family secret, and we were discovering it as kids, and now we had to keep the secret because we were ashamed and embarrassed about it. And the worse mom got, the worse dad got. My mom was a lamenting, weepy drunk, and my dad was an angry drunk. And no one was immune from his anger. You know, I was a strong-willed kid, and so much of it was directed at me. My personality was one that would challenge everything. So I would mouth off at my parents in protest of their behavior. My mom would cry about it and isolate herself, but my dad would just grab the belt and deal with the situation. I learned that telling the truth brought trouble in my house, and so I learned to color the truth and to lie. It wasn't safe, to be honest. You know, you spend a lot of time defending yourself when you live in an alcoholic home. You become exhausted in that process. I learned to bury my feelings. I learned to stay away from home, and I learned to avoid dangerous people and drama. I kept to myself. I kept busy with my friends and activities. I said whatever was necessary to get the job done. And this would be my pattern for a long time. By the time I was a junior in high school, it was clear that I was athletically gifted. I never forgot the magical experience of playing on a real baseball team for the first time, so I aggressively pursued baseball. I was dedicated and a hard worker, and I had a strong work ethic. Sheer bulldogged endurance was one of my strong points. Sports were measurable, and it gave me a sense of control in my life. Success brought rewards like more playing time, recognition, friends, and I liked these rewards. I managed to get through high school with what I learned in those years, keeping a healthy distance from family, keep busy, and being excellent in all my endeavors. But all of my conversations were kept light. No drama, don't dig too deep, don't get personal. I found that, you know, being shallow was easy, safe, and profitable. You know, I developed some other habits too, because I had few boundaries, actually none, I had no boundaries, and because of the sports accomplishments, I was getting lots of attention. Kids liked me, girls liked me, and because I wasn't grounded in real values, I knew very little about real love, so I sought a reasonable facsimile, sex. Most of my early female relationships were about sex. You know, looking back, I made many bad decisions because of this counterfeit love. I hurt others, and others were hurt by it, and I was hurt by it. I was out of the house at 17 after graduating from high school. I moved in with friends after being tossed out by my dad after a fight. Well, I made a plan. Get away from the crazy family, marry my girlfriend, go to college, play ball, become rich, and live happily ever after. Yeah, that was my plan. I even wrote it down. Life in the chaotic Brent household would be a thing of the past, and I'd just move on to a great life. Well, nothing could have been further from reality. Fast forward 8 years, wife gone, baseball gone, college degree but no job satisfaction, lonely, bored, disappointed, drinking and getting high with my friends, empty. Why? You know, I didn't know. I didn't know why. I thought I had a great plan and that I would succeed. After all, everybody told me that I would. The feedback I got from family, friends, and coaches was that I was on a track for success. After all that, I had built to counter the craziness in my family. It just brought a different kind of craziness. You know, Lamentations 2:14 struck me. I was reading this the other day. It says, "The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity." I believed the voices around me, but none of those voices were concerned about my character. They were only interested in my talent and my gifts, and so I had believed them. So I started to ask questions. Was there something in life that made it worth living? Was there a purpose greater than working until retirement and then getting into a motorhome and sailing off into the sunset? Isn't that the American dream? It's the American dream. Were there any good people in the world? Why did I have parents like mine? Was Christ real? Ooh, where'd that come from? This is what I began thinking in 1978. I had probably never had a deep thought in my adult life until that point. Truth. Me had been a big part of my life. It's just about me at that point. My passions, my pleasures, my goals. What I really wanted, though, now was starting to change. I wanted something real. I didn't know what or who. I was thinking wife, but not like the first one. I wanted a stable relationship, but I had never had one. So I didn't know what it looked like. If not a wife, maybe a dog. Something. All I knew was that something was missing in my life. I came home from work one day at lunchtime. I closed the door to my house, and I prayed for the first time that I can actually remember. And I said, God, if you're there, I want to know. And I want a wife. Well, I met Karina, my beautiful wife of 34 years, the next day. Yeah, I met Jesus a year later. Amazing turnaround for me. Change happened immediately. I began sober living, which was no effort on my part at all. God had changed my desires. I married Karina and became serious about family, work, my soul, other people. This was quite a miracle, and to this day, I can tell you that had that not happened, I would have repeated the pattern of my father, which was the path I was on. Okay, fast forward 30 years. There are big stories between these fast forward things, but not enough time for them. Karina and I have raised 8 children. We are owned by a small business, and we have a small farm. I've been involved in Christian ministries, and seemingly I've done well. But with all of that, I felt like I was dragging mud uphill. I told a friend one day I had been married for 30 years, 15 of the best years of my life, I said. My friend didn't laugh. You know, when I thought about it, it wasn't funny. I loved my wife, but I felt I could never make her happy no matter how hard I tried. I loved my kids, but so much of my effort went into solving their problems. I loved my business, but I felt like it was a millstone hung around my neck. I was very frustrated with the people in my life. I was exhausted. I was just buying time, and I had ceased to be productive. Our kids were grown, so I could do almost anything I wanted. So I worked hard on my business, exerting the sheer force of my will to make it successful. At home, my wife only wanted to talk about the kids. I was numb to that. I would isolate for hours at home playing my guitar in one of the many vacant rooms in our big empty house. I was in denial that there were even problems in my home. I thought everything was okay. I thought this is how marriages worked. At work, same thing. I was exhausted by it all. And I was worried. Family was a problem. Money was always a problem, even though I made a lot of it. Big families always have needs. I had poor boundaries with money and family. Fear was my biggest issue. I feared failure. Success had been so important to my image. My image had been built on performance. I think this was also my dad's malady. Well, that's where I was before I came to Celebrate Recovery. I worried about money. I worried about family. I felt powerless to do anything about it, and I lived in fear. Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Because I felt powerless to control my circumstances, I was frustrated and angry. I had lost my enthusiasm. Life had just beaten the snot out of me. In the daily grind of living, I had forgotten the power of God. I had become all caught up in trying to please people around me whom I could never please. I had become spiritually lazy. God was in the periphery and I was sitting on the throne of my life. Now, you would think that since I was attending Rolling Hills, I would just like check out the church bulletin, notice that Celebrate Recovery is here, make a decision to check it out. Not even warm. I didn't have a clue about Celebrate Recovery. So how did I get to Celebrate Recovery, you ask? Well, my son. He was dealing with an issue and coming to Celebrate Recovery, and then he would come home every week and tell me how great Celebrate Recovery is. He was so excited about it. Each time I would listen, and then I would ask him, "What is Celebrate Recovery?" As if I had never heard the answer before. But I hadn't, because I had become a very selfish listener. I just listened on the surface, but I wasn't paying any attention. So one day my wife said to me, "Let's go to Celebrate Recovery and support our son." Now, I don't want you to think I'm dense, but I had to ask her, "What is Celebrate Recovery?" She didn't have a lot of tolerance for that question. Anyway, I came for the first time 4.5 years ago. First night I was here, well, it was magical. I had dinner. I found a seat right up here in the front to sit for worship. I love the worship. I love the worship. I was hooked the minute I heard this worship band. It reminded me of just how important Jesus is. I'd forgotten. I went to 101 that night, and I couldn't wait for the next Wednesday, and I've been here ever since. What I discovered was that I had never dealt with the past issues of being an adult child of alcoholics. I had hidden and buried my shame with a new identity called performer. I had many titles, but what I really needed was the true identity, Son of God. I have learned I belong to God, not to me, not to others. God is in control, not me. It's amazing how much peace you get when you turn your life and your will over to Christ's care and control. I was still trying to solve the chaos by controlling everyone else. I was trying to fix everything. This is codependent behavior. I had elevated other people over God in my life. What an impossible situation that was. I was trying to run the world. No wonder I was frustrated and angry. Thank God for Celebrate Recovery. I just missed a few things in my life with Christ through the small group meetings, the step studies, my accountability partners, and my sponsor. God revealed to me just how I had learned to tune people out. He revealed to me just how distracted I was. I learned from years of chaos not to spend a lot of time focusing on anything, but to just let my mind travel. How destructive that was. Through step study, I learned that by keeping a regular inventory and making amends, I could become mindful of others and develop a real sense of empathy and love. I still have some things to conquer, but, you know, I've opened up a lot. I've amended many of the relationships that I have, and I have forgiven my parents. I've made peace with my siblings. I'm awake and aware, and I no longer sleepwalk through my life. Celebrate Recovery has brought me much closer to God and the people I love. Through Celebrate Recovery, God has preserved my gifts, but He has changed my character. Principle one is a daily exercise for me. It starts out with realize I'm not God. You know, I always giggle because the guys always have to read that line. The women hardly ever have to read that line in here, but I think we should switch it up a little bit. But it's a great exercise for me. I've learned that if God is in control, there is no need to worry. Worry then is just a self-inflicted wound. Hello? Principle seven has revolutionized my everyday. Reserve a daily time with God. I was spiritually lazy because I wasn't doing spiritual push-ups. I get up early every morning now, and I spend my days reading the Word, praying, texting scriptures to my friends, and I have more energy and more meaning every day than I ever had before. And I live by principle eight, yield myself to God to be used. Okay, I want to be used by God to bring the good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Service is a big part of personal growth and Celebrate Recovery. I started by working in the kitchen, which I did for a year. I love that simple task of just fellowshipping in the kitchen with the crew, that faithful, gentle crew that works back there. I graduated to serving dinner. It was a big promotion for me. I believe one day they'll actually let me set the tables in here. I serve as the ministry leader of Celebrate Recovery. God has surrounded me with such a great team of believers who are working diligently to share what we have found here. I am so blessed by that. I know now that God was always there for me. I was just the one that was absent. He wanted to guide me. He wanted me to be healthy. He wanted me to have real love, real joy, and real peace, not the counterfeits that I had experienced. CR has really helped me to understand that I am not defined by my past or by my performance, but by Jesus. Some of my friends and my wife now even call me a Jesus freak. I love it. I love it. I receive that with joy. My life changed when I began to ask if Christ was real. In CR, he is real, and he is our higher power. I am a happier, healthier person because of Celebrate Recovery. And I want to say that you too can have a better, richer, and more fulfilling life because of what is here. The CR principles and steps will help you to realize that life. I hope you'll seek him, because when you do, he will be found and your life will be transformed. Thank you, and may God bless you as you seek him. No!